Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. I tell you, these general managers here in New York, Brian Cashman and Brody Van Wagenen, better hurry up and do something. I'm getting bored now. Tired of talking about these rumors, what might happen, and what's crazy, what's not crazy. Let's sink our teeth into something. Been out in Vegas now for days. Get something done, will you? Don't do something stupid, but get something done. And once again, we've got an article in the paper this morning in the Post from Brian Costello talking about who the next Jets head coach should be, which is another one of these things that happens when you hang on to a head coach that's going to be fired at the end of the year. Nice win for the Jets last week, but the rest of these weeks, from now till the end of the season, if they continue to lose, that's what we're going to hear. Good morning, Boomer. What's happening, man?
I'm doing pretty good there, Gio. You know, I think some of the stuff dissipated this past couple of weeks because, you know, Sam Darnold played well. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we're talking about. If he plays well, then there'll be less talk about it. But, you know, inevitably, there are going to be these contracts and all that other stuff. And I'm not really sure what Brian's talking about, but he's allowed, you know, to have his opinion and everything else about, you know, going outside the box. And I'm thinking outside the box probably means Lincoln Riley, the head coach of Oklahoma. We'll see how that works out versus Alabama in the Orange Bowl. And then maybe you can come and tell me after that, you know, whether or not you think that, you know, he has the chops to be an NFL head coach. You know, I always worry about college coaches coming to the NFL because it's a different brand of coaching. It's, you know, when you are a college coach, you're Nick Saban, you know, you're Jim Harbaugh, you're Urban Meyer. I mean, you are a father figure in many ways to the guys that you're coaching. And there's still that respect factor that you have because those kids know that you could kick them right off the team tomorrow if you wanted to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's always that thought of that. And there's a different relationship, a different way of doing things with younger men who are not being paid as opposed to men who are getting paid $10 million a year. And that's why I always would worry about a college coach, you know, coming directly from college, speaking with men between the ages of 18 and 21, as opposed to, you know, the head coach of an NFL team that has to deal with the 23 to 33-year-old that's making money. That's a totally different set of circumstances, a totally different way of coaching. And for those who have never been through it before, to learn on the job, especially here in New York, would be, I think, an unmitigated disaster.
And yesterday, one of those names that was linked to the Jets early on this season as the hot offensive coordinator that could take a head coaching job at the end of the year because a team like the Jets would be looking for a mentor to Sam Darnold in the mold of Sean McVay, John DeFilippo, the Vikings offensive coordinator, was fired yesterday by the Minnesota Vikings after another putrid offensive performance on national television. So this guy, who was one of those names, he's on the Eagles staff. They have all that success with Nick Foles. You know, Frank Reich goes to Indianapolis. Doug Peterson stays in Philadelphia. John DeFilippo goes to Minnesota. Well, the Eagles offense hasn't had as much success this year. Andrew Luck looks like the best he's ever played, and John DeFilippo's out of a job. So
let me ask you a question. All three of those teams have what you would consider three top-flight quarterbacks. Now, you may not say that about Kirk Cousins at the moment, but when they did sign him, that you'd feel like he was one of those top-flight quarterbacks, just like Carson Wentz is and just like Andrew Luck is. I think the proof is in the pudding as to what the hell was going on. And hey, look, you all work together. Everybody should deserve credit. Everybody should get credit. But I think, you know, for John DeFilippo, this has got to be like a real soul-searching moment that maybe, you know, you're just not ready yet. And you're going to have to, you know, I don't know how that whole thing played out up in Minnesota, but I know one thing. You know, Mike Zimmer would not normally fire an assistant head coach. Remember, he was a longtime assistant before he ever got a head job. So if there were anybody that would be sensitive to an assistant's plight, you would think it would be Zimmer. And already now, with 13 games under their belt, they basically decide, you know what, we're done with you. Goodbye. Now, I do know that Stefanski, the guy that's taken over there, this was the right-hand man for Pat Shurmur. This is the guy that was, you know, Pat Shurmur's guy up there, and Pat wanted, I believe Pat wanted him here in New York, and he was blocked from coming here. They may have made him assistant head coach or something else and retained him as quarterback coach and just gave him another title and gave him some more money to stay in Minnesota. But now he takes over the play calling. It'd be interesting to see what kind of effect he has on Kirk Cousins and this Minnesota team. I think Minnesota is going to come out and play really well this week against Miami. I think this is a reactionary thing. I think everybody's on notice up there. Everybody's on pins and needles. Everybody's on edge. And, you know, when you take the strength of the Minnesota Vikings and you throw it against the weakness of the Miami Dolphins, I see a Minnesota defense dominating the game in Minnesota this weekend.
Well, I hope so. But the John DeFilippo thing is just one of those deals where not everybody's Sean McVay. Not everybody is Matt Nagy. Not everybody is going to be able. Just because you found a couple of those guys in back-to-back years doesn't mean that guy exists. Now, Eric Bieniemy might be that guy. And you have the Chiefs with a history of having an assistant go from underneath Andy Reid to a head coaching job and doing pretty well.
You'd be amazed how many people that are associated with Andy Reid are out there in the NFL.
He's got a great coaching tree.
But not just coaching. I'm just a front office people, too.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and he quietly is one of, I think, four head coaches. I would say Shanahan, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, and him. That have like kind of control of the building. In other words, they're the face of the franchise. They're the ones that were there before the GMs were there. They're the ones that kind of work with the general manager. But, you know, out of all of those guys, I think the one guy who is most involved in all the decision makings, obviously, is Bill Belichick. I think the other three, while they're the faces of their franchises, I think they allow their guys to do their work. So, like, Pete Carroll does really heavily rely on John Schneider out there. He knows the kind of players they want. I think they rebuilt that whole team in the last year and a half. They just got rid of everybody and started plugging in young guys again, and they went back to their initial way that they built the team when Pete first got there. They had more transactions than any other team. They were just bringing guys in left and right, trying to find guys that fit, trying to find the guys that, you know, had the right attitude, and, you know, and that was the Richard Shermans of the world at one point in time. So now they're trying to recreate that. And I think he's done it. At least he's on the way of doing it. And I would tell you that Seattle and like Indianapolis, those teams are ahead of the curve, ahead of where they thought they were going to be at this time this year. So I think I don't necessarily know that there's a guy out there that would fit that moniker for the Jets if the Jets decide to go that way with the big time head coach, the big named head coach. But we're going to have to wait until Black Monday because I believe there's going to be no less than seven job openings in the NFL. So that means there are going to be a lot of teams scrambling. And that means that, you know, if you are going to get yourself a new head coach, you better get to the front of the line and identify what you want and who you want and how you want your structure of your organization to be so you don't get stuck with like the fourth or fifth guy.
Well, this is another reason why I think the Jets, if they know that Todd Bowles isn't going to be the head coach, that you should have moved on now weeks ago with the Buffalo Bills, the first Buffalo Bills game and that horrendous loss, is now you have two teams out there that are already ahead of the game. Because organizations, I know that a lot of conversations happen, but I mean, when you have already moved on from your head coach, it's a lot easier to go out and talk to other people or to be able to do your research on the next guy as opposed to someone who's already got that job. Right. And it makes the whole thing really, really awkward.
And then the other thing, you know this because you follow the league like I do, who would have thought that Mike McCarthy was going to be on the street?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
Maybe at the end of the year if things didn't work out for him, but to fire him before the season ended, it's crazy.
So he's there right now, and I can tell you, and I know that Bill Cowher was in here yesterday saying, well, you know, he's probably not going to play next year. Okay, coach next year. He may just be saying that also simply because he wants to ramp up what he thinks is his value now. Oh, he's not involved, and then somebody will get to him and try to talk him, you know, out of retirement and then bringing him in. I mean, this is all the game that's being played now behind the scenes with the agents and the GMs and the owners, and it's just It is really an insecure place.
Yeah, and maybe he did feel that way right afterwards because that was a really low moment for him. But once he hears an organization that is interested in him and you hear the other side of the story as opposed to you're not getting the job done, you have to go, and now you got a different owner saying you're the guy who's going to take us to the place we want to go, and you start hearing that stuff, you get excited, then maybe he's back in. So, I mean, he's going to be highly sought after. I think that is that's a given.
I mean, when you think about this now, you know, Cleveland's going to be open unless, of course, Greg Williams somehow gets this whole thing turned around and somehow they back into the playoffs. There's still a chance for Cleveland, albeit very remote. But, you know, you can't deny that that team hasn't played better since mm-hmm. he has taken over and settled things down. Who knows what they would have been like had he been the head coach and ran the team the way he's running it now if they would have done it a lot earlier. I mean, you got to believe that Cincinnati is going to be open. Denver is going to be open most likely. Carolina could be open. Tampa Bay is probably going to be open. You got the Browns, you got the Jets. I mean, you know, you got the Bengals. I mean, you know, so there's going to be a lot of turnover in the NFL, and there are not going to be that many candidates that I think, you know, that can fit the bill. And I mean, and then there are other places like I don't know what's going to happen in Baltimore. I mean, You hear where the smoke, there's fire. That, you know, is a new GM taking over, and it's John Harbaugh's message. Yeah.
And what happens if they win the division?
Right? Which is a very good chance that they can win the division.
Right, especially what's going on in Pittsburgh every day. It's new drama. Yesterday, it was the faulty X-ray equipment in Oakland. That was another thing. Every single day, there's some sort of something going on in Pittsburgh.
Did you see the great Rocky Blyer just go off on Facebook?
Yes, he did. He said
Mike
he was
Tomlin
done.
And everything else. I'm like, that's a little overreaction.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, those guys care deeply about the team, and I don't believe that Rocky Blyer was promoting anything. I think he just did that because
he did
pissed.
It on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm saying. So, like, sometimes I question the motivation of those things when old guys from the past will come out and it's like, oh, by the way, look at this juice that I'm selling. But I don't think he was. I think he was just pissed because of the way the team
was playing. The Raiders, you know, it goes back, you know, it's the Raiders, the Steelers, the whole thing when he was playing and all that other stuff. And unfortunately, Mike Tomlin has to deal with a lot of that. You know, he stands there in the midst of all of this, and he gets six slings and arrows from all these great Steeler players.
He's got to answer questions about it because he had his press conference after that had been on Facebook, so he had to answer questions about it. But you know, going into this offseason, the Jets and the Browns are going to be the two most interesting teams because of the money that they have to spend and the fact that they've got young quarterbacks and are at a turning point with their franchise. And the Browns are going to be exceptionally interesting because they're playing well and Baker Mayfield has been just awesome. But the Jets are going to have more money by a lot to spend than anybody, and where they spend that is going to be fascinating too. I mean, there isn't going to be a free agent quarterback out there they have to worry about, and they wouldn't even want him anyway, like Kirk Cousins last year. So where's that money going to go? I mean, is it going to go to Le'Veon Bell? Is it going to go to a couple of defensive guys? They're going to spend a good chunk of that money, I would imagine.
I'll tell you what you do. I'll tell you, what you do is you analyze everybody's roster in the NFL, which I'm assuming that they're doing, and you're looking for those teams that are under an enormous amount of pressure because of the salary cap. And then you start looking at some of these players, you know, that I'm not saying get on the cheap, but basically you're trying to find those secondary free agents that don't cost you a bundle that are going to give you, you know, a reasonable return, like Avery Williamson, for instance, you know, that kind of guy. You don't want, I don't necessarily know you want to go down that Tremaine Johnson thing again. Mm. I mean, that's a rabbit hole that maybe he's playing better a little bit now, but at the end of the day, is he really worth $72 million?
No.
I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, so you got to be very judicious as to who you're giving money to, and you got to make sure if you're going to give it to Lev Bell that you better sit down with that young man and you better find out where his head's at.
Yeah, I mean, and right
that's
now,
that's not something that is like, you know, just, you know, sign and give him whatever he wants. I mean, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I think that that's what he thought was going to happen. Now, his value probably gets ratcheted up a little bit more now that James Conner hasn't played and his production was going down a little bit. When Conner was replacing every bit of the Le'Veon Bell production, I think people were looking at Le'Veon Bell going, okay, I mean, what's so special about you? Is the system, it's the offensive line, it's Ben, you just happen to benefit from that. But now you could see that he's been missed. But I mean, that went from a slam dunk to me. If Le'Veon Bell had another productive season for the Pittsburgh Steelers and hit free agency, I thought he was going to be on the Jets.
Yeah, I would just say, if, you know, for me, I'd have to see the guy. I'd have to talk to him. I'd have to find out if he's in good shape, where his head's at, what's going on.
And if he's not lying to you either.
Right,
that's
exactly
the other thing.
I mean, that goes on a lot. Like Kareem Hunt and the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that you are like perfectly, you know, think everything's okay. He comes and talks to you about this, these altercations or whatever, and does not really truly describe them the way they happen. And you have no choice but to cut the guy. And then you find out that he has to go to alcohol rehab and he's got all these other problems. I'm like, what the hell is the team thinking about?
Yeah.
I mean, if you know he's got these problems, you better do something about it if you want him to stay on the field.
Well, you know what the team's thinking about. The team's thinking about it hasn't really hurt him or us yet. And boy, are we playing well, and he's playing well.
I think the team was put in an untenable situation. And, you know, these are guys that all say, treat me like a man, treat me like a man, and then I'm going to go out and act like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just say, look, I'm paying a guy $700,000. I mean, I'll invest another $500,000 just in therapy courses for him if that's what it's going to take to keep him on the field. And I'm going to get his agent involved. I'm going to get his family involved. I'm going to say, look, man, we know you have a problem, and we're going to try to help you. And the way for you to stay on the field is to confront those things. And they all knew it. They all knew it coming out of college, too.
Yeah.
Now, that's the thing. That's why they go in depth and they look into everybody's background. They want to know everything about every player that's available. And where the red flags arise, man, you got to make sure that you are making the right decision. And then on top of that, if you're going to take that on, if you're going to take that player on, and this happens all across the league, it's not just for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Steelers or the Bengals or the Jets or the Giants. It happens all across the league. You know, what Bruce Allen and this dopey Redskins thought about, you know, hiring or signing Reuben Foster off the waiver wire. And that's asinine. That is absolutely asinine that they would do something like that. And that's why when you go deep into these things and the backgrounds of these players, if you're going to bring a player in, you better make sure you have the right support staff to support what you believe are his problems if you want to get the most out of him on the field.
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell's red flags are entirely different red flags than
that. Well, he's been around longer now.
Yeah, I mean, he does have the weed suspension, and that is a red flag, but he is not.
But I think he's past that, though. I think he's past the point where another one would get him out of the league. I think he's done like 43 straight months of clean. I think he's got the you know, where
he's been under contract. But you got to remember, too, he didn't have a contract this entire time.
Well, the good news is if he doesn't make it here, he can always go play for the Freedom Football League.
Oh, that's
right.
Because
they're not going to have any drug testing.
Yeah, Ricky Williams was in here yesterday with Joe and Evan.
That's what I said. I read that, yes.
Yeah, the Freedom Football League is run by Ricky Williams, where you could do just about anything you want. I mean, that's what it's about. Too many restrictions in that damn NFL. We're going to have our own football league. Screw you guys.
That's what America wants.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you got the AAF, you got the XFL, you got the Freedom Football League.
I actually like the name of it. I kind of like the name of it.
The Freedom Football League?
I kind of like it, yeah.
Freedom, America. You know, America, freedom isn't free. You know, all those great bumper stickers that are out there. Freedom. Right. And then, but outside of that, the rules and stuff, not so much. Right.
Yeah, but Levy go work therapy if he has another.
Hey, if I was a Freedom Football League, I'd sign Kaepernick, I'd sign Le'Veon Bell if I could. I'd get all these guys that are out there, and I'd just get people. Johnny Manziel, I'd find him and put him in that league. I mean,
do you really think Colin Kaepernick wants to play?
I don't know, and I'm just saying. And then if I was a Freedom Football League, I have
not heard hide nor hair from Colin himself say, yes, I want to play. And yes, I'm willing to play for the minimum because that's what he's going to get. He's not going to get $20 million to be a starting quarterback anywhere. I mean, I have not heard him personally say that he wants to play. I keep hearing everybody else talk, you know, for him.
Right.
But, you know, you would like to think that if you want to play, then say you want to play. And then put pressure on the NFL that way. Don't make other guys fight your battles. You could fight your battles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. He could.
I mean, he could easily is better than any quarterback that Washington even considered.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, if Washington is going to add Reuben Foster, you would think that they would think about Colin Kaepernick. The question is does Colin Kaepernick want to play? Does he really want to play? I mean, this is all these coaches keep talking about. Is he really into playing football? Or does he want to be a social justice warrior on our football field? What do you want? They want a football player. That's what they want. But I don't know if he wants to play. I hear a lot of people say he does want to play, but I haven't heard him say that.
Boomer and Geo just getting started on this Wednesday morning. Plenty more football. The winter meetings continue. Other names getting tossed around. What are the Yankees going to do with Miguel Andujar? A Jerry Recco update coming up in just a few minutes.
They're going to go fishing. Yep. Drop the lines.
Drop the lines in the water, man.
Can't catch a fish.
You go back to the dock.
They need that fishing app that you have.
Yeah, the fish brain app. Yeah, yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, Brian Cashman was making a lot of fishing analogies yesterday. And so far, everybody's been coming up empty here in New York at the winter meeting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.